Hello, I'm Pastor Steve. After my recent health problems, the doctors prescribed all kinds of big pharma to take care of my diabetes and my blood pressure, etc., etc., and those big pharma products did absolutely nothing to help me at all. Total waste of time. So I have tried and have been using the longevity products that are advertised on DIY Health here on EFR, and the results are rather spectacular. My blood pressure is way down in the normal range. My blood sugar is way down in the normal range. My energy level is up, and basically I really feel good. If you would like to try these products, you can contact my friend Patrick at area code 901-553-6900. That's area code 901-553-6900. Okay, that stuff really works, and I'm very pleased. And I don't easily endorse things. Give Patrick a call and tell him what's going on, and he can help you out. See you later. May Yahweh bless and keep you.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before, Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go.
Hiya, shalom aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. Show is word for word. I'm Pastor Steve, and this is my 418th word for word show. Now, that's not counting a couple of specials I did and the reruns. This is just the new shows. We are in the book of Luke. We will be starting with chapter 5 of Luke today and pressing on, seeing how far we can go. My website, and I have to give the whole thing, because if you just Google Pastor Steve, you're going to get all kinds of stuff. Not me, okay? It's https://www.pastor-steve.com. Okay? There's a lot of Pastor Steves or whatever. It just looks up the Pastor and the Steve, and it just puts all kinds of stuff together, and it's a mess. So that's the website. It's not interactive. You can't troll there. You can download or you can just listen. There's things for sale. There's two seed line sites to go to. I have some posts that I've done in there with opinions about certain things that are not radio shows. They're just my views on some stuff. It's a nice little site. It's very user friendly and it's clean, and I don't have to babysit. I don't have to deal with trolls. I made it so nobody can post anything on there but me, because I basically just don't have the time. So let's get into chapter 5 of the book of Luke. Now, verses 1 through 3 You can reference the book of Matthew, chapter 13, verses 1 and 2. That's Matthew 13, 1 and 2. And Mark, chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. That's Mark 3, 9 and 10, and also chapter 4, verse 1. That's for verses 1, 2, and 3 here in the in chapter 5 of Luke. Verse 1. And it came to be, while the crowd was pressing upon him to hear the word of Elohim, that he stood by the lake of Gennesar. Verse 2. And he saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Verse 3. And entering into one of the boats, which belonged to Shimon, that's Simon, he asked him to pull away a little from the land. And he sat down and was teaching the crowds from the boat. Okay. Verse 4. And when he ceased speaking, he said to Shimon, pull out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Verse 5. And you can reference the book of John, chapter 21, verse 3. That's John 21, 3, for verse 5. And Shimon answering said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught none. But at your word I shall let down the net. Verse 6. You can reference the book of John, chapter 21, verse 6. John 21, 6. That's verse 6. And when they did so, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. Verse 7. And they motioned to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they were sinking. They overloaded the boats with fish, okay? Wow. Verse 8. And when Shimon Kepha saw it, that's Simon Peter. Okay, Kepha is a rock. And Peter comes from Petros, which means rock. But this is his Hebrew name, because they were speaking Aramaic and Hebrew. These are Hebrew people. And when Shimon Kepha saw it, he fell down at the knees of Yeshua, saying, depart from me, for I am a man, a sinner, O Master. Verse 9. For astonishment had seized him, and all those with him, at the catch of fish which they took. Okay. Verse 10. So too were Yaakov and Yochanan the sons of Zabdi, that's Jacob and John, okay, in English. The sons of Zabdi, who were partners with Shimon. Then Yeshua said to Shimon, "Do not fear. From now on, you shall catch men." You'll be fishers of men. You shall catch men. By repeating the words and by witnessing and by preaching, boy, is that a miracle. That's verse 11. "And having brought the boats to land, they left all and followed him." Just dropped everything, left the boats, left the nets, left the fish, and followed Yeshua. Just being in his presence was enough. Whew. Verse 12. "And it came to be when he was in a certain city, that see, a man covered with leprosy saw Yeshua, and he fell on his face and begged him, saying, 'Master, if you desire, you are able to cleanse me.'" Now, Yeshua was going to touch this man. Lepers were untouchable. It was fatal. The disease was communicable. They dressed a certain way and cried, "Unclean, unclean," and everybody just parted and let them walk through because they didn't want to have contact with them. Verse 13, "And he stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, 'I desire it. Be cleansed.' And immediately the leprosy left him." Verse 14. And for verse 14, reference Leviticus 13:49. And 14:2. Okay. Leviticus 13:49 and 14:2. It's verse 14. "And he ordered him to say it to no one, but go and show yourself to the priest." In other words, show that you've been healed. "And make an offering for your cleansing as a witness to them, as Moshe commanded." He was to make a praise offering. Verse 15. "And the news about him was spreading even more, and large crowds were coming together to hear and to be healed by him of their sicknesses." Pardon me. Verse 16. "But he was often withdrawing himself to lonely places and praying. Verse 17. And on a certain day it came to be, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and teachers of the Torah sitting by, who had come out of every village of Galilee. Now that's Galilee. Yehuda, the territory, and Jerusalem. And the power of Yahweh was there to heal them. Verse 18. And see, men brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed, and they were seeking to bring him in and lay him before him. Verse 19. But having found no way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the housetop and let him down with his bed through the tiles into the midst before Yeshua. Verse 20, and having seen their belief, he said to him, man, now that's anthropos in the Greek, okay? Just generic for man. It doesn't say Adam here. Man, your sins are forgiven you. But by the second half of the statement, your sins are forgiven you, it would be an Adamic man. Okay? Because Yeshua never messed with anybody, particularly, that wasn't of Israel. He was for Israel. Verse 21, and the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, this is verse 21, who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who is able to forgive sins except Elohim alone? Verse 22, let me get a drink of coffee here. I'm getting a little froggy through it. Oh, that's wonderful. Verse 22, and Yeshua, knowing their thoughts, answering, said to them, why are you reasoning in your hearts? Verse 23, which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, rise up and walk. Verse 24. But in order for you to know that the son of Adam possesses authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the man who was paralyzed, I say to you, rise, take up your bed and go to your house. I mean, this guy was paralyzed for years, and he just said, rise up, take up your bed and go to your house. Verse 25. And at once, having risen up before them, he took up what he had been lying on and went away to his house, praising Elohim. Verse 26. And astonishment seized them all, and they praised Elohim and were filled with fear, saying, we have seen extraordinary feats today. Now, the feats is added, okay? We have seen extraordinary today. they put the feats in there to anglicize it to make it more plausible, okay? Verse 27. And after this he went out and saw a tax collector named Levi, or Levi, okay, Levi, usually Levi, okay, that's Levi in English, sitting at the tax office, and said to him, "Follow me." Verse 28. And he, having left all, rose up and followed him. He just dropped everything and just followed him. Verse 29. And Levi made a great feast for him in his house, and there were a great number of tax collectors and others who sat down with them. All right. Let's stop right here. I'm going to tell you about the tax collectors. They were back then like they are now. A lot of them were corrupt. And if you owed five whatever in tax, they would make you pay 10. They'd put the five in the pot to pay to the government, and they'd pocket the other five. All right? And they were hated because they were so dishonest, and they robbed the people through their authority. So that was the stigma attached to the tax collectors. Verse 30. And the Pharisees and their scribes grumbled against his taught ones, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" And for verse 30, you can reference the book of Luke, chapter 15, verses 1 and 2. That's Luke 15, 1 and 2. Verse 31. And Yeshua answering said to them, "Those who are well do not need a physician, but those who are sick." Verse 32, "I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." That sort of covers us, doesn't it? Okay. All of us have sinned and fall short of the glory. Well, hey, me too. Oh, yeah. You know, people see my life now. You should have seen my life back then, before. And I still make mistakes. But I can recognize them right away and correct them or ask forgiveness for them. And my whole mindset, my whole awareness is changed having received Yeshua and the Holy Spirit. It changes you. For the better. It's marvelous. It's absolutely wonderful. Verse, I got to change my glasses. I have several sets of glasses. My vision changes day to day, and I have to shift back and forth. Verse 33, pardon me. And they said to him, "Why do the taught ones of Yohanan fast often?" That's John the Baptist. and make prayers, and likewise those of the Pharisees. But yours eat and drink. They weren't visibly trying to suffer. And put on a big show. They liked that showmanship. Well, don't we like showmanship today with these mega churches and this nonsense? Don't we like that? Isn't that real popular? Okay. Verse 34. And he said to them, are you able to make the friends of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with them? Verse 35. But the day shall come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they shall fast in those days. Verse 36. And he also spoke a parable to them. Okay. The reason he spoke in parables was because the children of the devil couldn't understand them. Only those that were touched by the Holy Spirit, they could figure it out. But the sons of the devil that were around, they just couldn't quite get it. Just it was beyond them. Verse 36, and he also spoke a parable to them. No one puts a piece from a fresh garment on an old one. Otherwise, the fresh one makes a tear. And also the piece that was taken out of the fresh one does not match the old. Verse 37. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, otherwise the new wine shall burst the wineskins and run out, and the wineskins shall be ruined, because they were already stretched to their maximum. And the new wine would ferment and bubble, and the gas would expand, and it would pop the wineskins. So they had to put it in new wineskins so they would stretch. Verse 38, but new wine is put into fresh wineskins, and both are preserved. Verse 39, and no one, having drunk old wine, immediately desires new, for he says the old is better. Yeah, it's aged wine. It's much better. Mm-hmm. That ends Chapter 5, we're going to get into chapter 6 here. I hope you're taking all these notes down. Verse 1 of chapter 6. And it came to be on a Sabbath. And some manuscripts read on the second Sabbath after the first, okay? And it came to be on a Sabbath that he went through grain fields, and his taught ones were plucking the heads of grain and were eating, rubbing them with the hands. Now, they weren't harvesting crops. They were just eating, okay? The harvesting of the crops is what you're not to do on the Sabbath. That's work for gain. but just eating, you're allowed to eat on the Sabbath. You can reference Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 25, for verse 1. Deuteronomy 23, 25. Verse 2 of chapter 6. And some of the Pharisees said to them, "Why are you doing what is not right to do on the Sabbath?" Verses 3 and 4, you can reference 1 Samuel chapter 21, verses 1 through 6. That's 1 Samuel 21, verses 1 through 6. Verse 3, and Yeshua answering them said, "Have you not read what David did when he was hungry, he and those who were with him?" Verse 4, how he went into the house of Elohim, took and ate the showbread, which also, or and also gave some to those with him, which is not right for any but the priests to eat. And for verse 4, you can reference Leviticus chapter 24, verse 9. That's Leviticus 24, 9 for verse 4. Verse 5. And he said to them, "The son of Adam is master of the Shabbat." You can reference Matthew chapter 12, verse 8 on that one. Matthew 12, 8. Pardon me, just a second. I had to cough. Don't want to cough in the mic. Verse 6. And it also came to be on another Sabbath that he entered into the congregation and taught, and there was a man whose right hand was withered. Verse 7. And the scribes and Pharisees were watching him closely, whether he would heal on the Sabbath, for them to find an accusation against him. Verse 8. And he knew their thoughts, son of Elohim. Of course he knows their thoughts. He can read minds. He's divine. And he knew their thoughts and said to the man who had the withered hand, "Rise and stand in the midst." And he rose up and stood. He took him right in the center so everybody could see. Verse 9. Then Yeshua said to them, "I ask you, is it right to do good on the Sabbath or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it?" Verse 10, and looking around at them all, he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And he did so, and his hand was restored sound as the other. Verse 11. Now this is concerning the scribes and the Pharisees. Verse 11. But they were filled with folly and were speaking with one another what they should do to Yeshua. Verse 12. And in those days it came to be that he went out to the mountain to pray. and was spending the night in prayer to Elohim. Verse 13. And when it became day, he called near his taught ones and chose from them 12. Because he had a whole bunch of people following him, a whole bunch of taught ones. He picked 12, whom he also named emissaries. In other words, these were going to be the teachers that went out and taught. And here's a list. 14. Shimon, whom he also named Kepha. That's Simon Peter. Because Kepha is Petra's rock, so they called him Peter. And his brother Andre, Yaakov, and Yaakov and Yochanan, that's a pair, okay, Philip and Bartholomew, verse 15, Matityahu and Toma, all right, that's Matthew and Thomas, okay, Yaakov, the son of Alphi, that's another Yaakov, that's another Jacob, and Shimon, the one called the Ardent One. That's Simon, another Simon, okay. Verse 16, Yehuda of Yaakov, son of Jacob, and Yehuda from Kerioth, who also became the betrayer. He had to pick that devil. He had to pick him because nothing would be fulfilled unless he was betrayed and murdered and rose again. So this is planning ahead. But why would you pick somebody that was going to betray you? If you were just a man, you wouldn't do it, would you? No. If you were just a man. But Yeshua wasn't just a man. That's the whole point. He was not just a man, and he didn't do things as just men would do. He had a purpose here. He had to do all his ministry and then set himself up to be murdered and then rise again so that he would be the first fruit of resurrection for us. This is Yahweh's plan for our redemption, because the blood of bulls and goats just weren't getting it done, okay? Verse 17, and coming down with them, he stood on a level place with a crowd of his taught ones and a great number of people from all Yehuda, that's the territory, and Yerushalayim, and from the coast country of Zor and Zidon, that's Tyre and Zidon, who came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Verse 18, and those who were troubled with unclean spirits, and they were healed. Verse 19, and all the crowd were seeking to touch him, for power went out from him, healing them all. Verse 20, This is the beginning of the Beatitudes, okay? Verse 20, you can reference Isaiah 11:4 and James 2:5. Isaiah 11, chapter 11, verse 4, and the book of James, that's Yaakov, chapter 2, verse 5. Verse 20, and he, lifting up his eyes toward his taught ones, said, blessed are the poor, because yours is the reign of Elohim. Verse 21, blessed are you who hunger now, because you shall be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, because you shall laugh. Verse 22, reference 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 14. 1 Peter 4, 14. Blessed are you when men shall hate you, and when they shall cut you off, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as wicked, for the sake of the son of Adam. Verse 23, reference 2 Chronicles, chapter 36, verse 16. That's 2 Chronicles 36, 16. And Acts, the book of Acts, chapter 7, verse 52. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for look, your reward is great in the heaven, for that is how their fathers treated the prophets. Verse 24. But woe to you who are rich, because you are receiving your comfort. Verse 25, woe to you who have been filled, because you shall hunger. Woe to you who are laughing now, because you shall mourn and weep. Verse 26, woe to you when all men speak well of you, for thus their fathers did to the false prophets. Well, they do that today. False prophets. Well, the mega churches. Oh, he's so wonderful. I had such a good time. Is that what it's about? Having a good time? For some, I guess. Verse 27. But I say to you who are hearing, those that are understanding what he's saying, love your enemies and do good to those hating you. And that's of your own people. Okay? Because who's our greatest enemy today? It's our own people. Real Israel has enemies that are of real Israel, because they're deceived. And they're the most dangerous. Verse 28, bless those cursing you and pray for those insulting you. Well, if you teach the truth and you preach what's in the scriptures, not what's in the doctrines of men, they're going to curse you and insult you and make fun of you and call you a Nazi or whatever. You know, the little name calling games, the babyish games. Verse 29. Now this is the 12. He's commanding the 12. Okay? They had a special ministry. They were different than the rest of the people. They were going to receive power that the other people did not get, even though they were taught ones. He picked a special bunch that were going to be his messengers. Okay, this is to them. And to him who hits you on the one cheek, offer the other also. Verse 29. And to him who hits you on the one cheek, offer the other also. And from him who takes away your outer garment, do not withhold the inner garment either. They couldn't be fighting with people because it would take away from their ministry. They had to behave differently. He's not telling all of Israel, if somebody's beating up on you, let them. This is special instructions for special people. And people have tried to expand this to all of Israel. If we're attacked, we're to defend, okay? Today, Israel is not to just lay down before these devils. A lot of these Judeo-Christian preachers are saying that. That's not so. Verse 30. And give to everyone who asks of you, and from him who takes away what is yours, do not ask it back. Verse 31. And you can reference Tobit, the book of Tobit in the Apocrypha, chapter 4, verse 15. And the book of Matthew, chapter 7, verse 12. Matthew 7, 12. And as you wish men should do to you, you also do to them in the same way. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Okay. Verse 32. And if you love those loving you, what favor have you? For sinners too love those loving them. Verse 33. And if you do good to those doing good to you, what favor have you? For even sinners do the same. Verse 34. And if you lend from whom you expect to receive back, what favor have you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back. Verse 35. And you can reference Matthew chapter 5, verse 45. Matthew 5:45, the book of Acts, chapter 14, verses 16 and 17. That's Acts 14, 16 and 17. And the book of Sirach in the Apocrypha, chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. Sirach 4, 10 and 11. Rather love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting none in return, and your reward shall be great. And you shall be sons of the Most High, because he is kind to the thankless and wicked ones. Verse 36. Therefore be compassionate, as your Father also is compassionate. Now, see, he's gone from just teaching the 12 to teaching the ones that are hearing. He had specific instructions for the 12. Now he's also given instructions to the other ones that are in hearing. Be compassionate as your Father is also compassionate. Love your enemies. Okay? Those of your own race, try to get them converted. Try to reason with them. Those not of your race, don't worry about it. Verse 37. And do not judge, and you shall not be judged at all. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned at all. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. Verse 38. Give, and it shall be given to you. A good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall be put into your lap. For with the same measure with which you measure, it shall be measured back to you. Now here he's going to do a parable, which is only to the 12. He'll tell them later what it means. verse 39, and you can reference Matthew 15, verse 14. Matthew 15, 14. And he spoke a parable to them. Is a blind able to lead a blind? Shall they not both fall into a pit? Verse 40. You can reference Matthew chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. That's Matthew 10, 24 and 25. And the book of John, chapter 13, verse 16, and chapter 15, verse 20. That's John 13, 16, and 15, 20. Verse 40, a taught one is not above his teacher, but everyone perfected shall be like his teacher. Verse 41, and why do you see the splinter in your brother's eye, but are not aware of the plank in your own eye? Verse 42, or how are you able to say to your brother, Brother, let me take out the splinter that is in your eye, not seeing the plank in your own eye? Hypocrite. First take the plank out of your own eye, and then you shall see clearly to take out the splinter that is in your brother's eye. Right, verse 43, pay attention to this. For a good tree does not yield rotten fruit, nor does a rotten tree yield good fruit. Verse 44, reference Matthew chapter 12, verse 33. That's Matthew 12, 33 for verse 44. For each tree is known by its own fruit. Ooh. Each tree is known by its own fruit. For they do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush. Verse 45. Reference Matthew chapter 12, verse 34. Matthew 12, 34. The good man brings forth what is good out of the good treasure of his heart. And the wicked man brings forth what is wicked out of the wicked treasure of his heart. For out of the overflow of the heart, his mouth speaks. Verse 46, you can also reference verses 47 through 49. Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 28. Matthew 7, 24 through 28. The book of Luke chapter 8, verse 21. Luke 8, 21. The book of John chapter 3, verse 36, chapter 3, 36, and Jacob, okay, that's James, verse 2, chapter 2, I got that backwards, chapter 2, verses 17 through 24, chapter 2, verse 17 through 24. Verse 46 here. But why do you call me master, master, and do not what I say? In other words, why do you call me Lord, Lord? Okay, well, it's Master, Master. And do not what I say. Verse 47. Everyone who is coming to me and is hearing my words and is doing them, I shall show you whom he is like. Verse 48. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid a foundation on the rock. And when a flood came, the stream burst against that house, but was unable to shake it, for it was founded on the rock. That's the rock of his faith. Verse 49. But the one hearing and not doing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream burst, and immediately it fell. And the ruin of that house was great. And the ruin of the house of Edom is going to be great. They're digging their own grave. They're on top right now, they think. And they're persecuting, and they're causing wars, and they're killing people, and they're spraying stuff in the air to hurt people, and they're doing all these things. But their house is starting to crumble because the flood of information is coming out about them. They are being exposed. And the fall of that house is going to be great, and we're going to sit back and watch it. Boy, oh boy. Well, that's the end of chapter 6. That's the end of the reading for today. I will begin in chapter 7 on the next show. So, may Yahweh bless and keep you. It's been a pleasure. I hope you're enjoying the series. And I'll be back another day. Praise Yahweh, and may He bless and keep you.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before, Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go.
Hello, I'm Pastor Steve. You are listening to Eurofolkradio.com. We are privileged to bring you the Christian identity message to the dispersed people of true Israel, wherever they might be. We also bring you news and current events, health information, political commentary, and a little humor thrown in. We are glad that you could join us, and may Yahweh bless and keep you. Praise Yahweh.